Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
A Savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. Be very sure.
The first line of that song, that medley of songs sung by Greater Vision, "In Times Like These." It has a haunting ring to it. We live in difficult days in so many respects. But on the other hand, I'm so thankful for God's faithfulness. And I'm glad that you're listening today to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I'm going to complete the sermon that we started the first weekend of the month of October, titled "A World in Crisis Needs a Church in Revival." And I'd just like to remind you, any of the messages that you hear on the Lights of Spiritual Guidance are available on CD format, or we can put them on a thumb drive for you. All you have to do is write to us, and if you could enclose a gift to help us stay on your radio station, it would mean so much. You can write to us, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and check the contact information there. Or you can give through Venmo or PayPal. It would mean so much. We want to stay on your station, and you can help that happen each week. Well, I'm in revival services this third weekend of the month of October, October 19 to 22. Chester, West Virginia, Church of the Nazarene, October 26 to 29. Hurricane, West Virginia, again at the Church of the Nazarene. Then the first weekend of November, I'm going to be at Mackey, Indiana, at the Church of the Nazarene. That's November the 2nd. Then November 7 to 9, I'll be in revival at Buffalo, Kentucky, at the Church of the Nazarene. And then November 14 to 16, Sunman, Indiana, at the First Southern Baptist Church. And then November the 23rd, First Church of God in Bell Fountain, Ohio. And then November the 30th, I'll be in Columbus, Indiana, our hometown, at Flintwood Wesleyan Church. So do cover your prayers as I'm involved in these revivals and services. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our listening audience. Appreciate those who listen, those who do correspond from time to time to help us stay on their station. I pray that you would raise up other supporters. We need the help so we can stay on the radio. And I pray that you would continue to supply the need you always have, and we're grateful. Be with those who have special needs, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, don't forget to write to us. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. May God bless you as you continue listening today.
In the secret of his presence, how my soul delights to hide. Oh, how precious are the lessons which I learn at Jesus' side. Earthly cares can never vex me, neither trials lay me low. For when Satan comes to tempt me, to the secret place I go, to the secret place I go. When my soul is faint and thirsty, 'neath the shadow of his wing, there is cool and pleasant shelter and a fresh and crystal spring. And my Savior rests beside me as we hold communion sweet. If I tried, I could not utter what he says when thus we meet. What he says when thus we meet. Would you like to know the sweetness of the secret of the Lord? Go and hide beneath his shadows, this shall then be your reward. And whene'er you leave the silence of that happy meeting place, you must mind and bear the image of the Master in your face, of the Master in your face.
I was privileged to be at the great Richmond Southside Church of the Nazarene many years ago. My father and I, we'd been invited by the pastor, Reverend Charles Thompson, who's going on to be with the Lord now. He said, Lane, do you suppose you and your dad can come to Southside Church and conduct a revival, and you could take turns preaching and singing? I said, we'll get together, give you a date. And we did. And so the meeting was to start on a Wednesday night. And we started getting cards. I started getting postcards from members of that congregation. I'd been there several times. And I'm going back maybe for the third or fourth time. And so I'm getting cards in the mail. And the cards were reading something like this. Dear Lane, we're excited about the revival. We're praying for the revival. Well, you can believe that when I read that, I could hardly wait to get there. I was so excited about what God was going to do. And we arrived. And the first night, my dad preached and I sang. And then we took turnabout. I preached the next night. And Dad sang, and then Friday night, Dad preached, and I sang. Then it was my turn on Saturday night. Oh, we'd seen a few people come to the altar, but nothing out of the ordinary. And I knew that congregation. I knew them well. I knew they didn't want the ordinary. I knew they didn't want the business as usual. Saturday night, I got up, took my text. I remember what it was, John 3:16, the Bible in miniature. I quoted the verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I finished quoting that verse, and a young man stood up down here in about the third row. He said, excuse me, Lane, can I say something? I said, you take your liberty in the Lord. He said, we've not seen the revival we prayed would happen. He said, it's not your fault, Lane. It's not your dad's fault. He said, I'll assume responsibility. He said, I wanted to get to church tonight for the pre-service prayer meeting. But my wife couldn't get her ducks in a row. And she was late. And I got upset with her. And I began to argue with her. And we walked out of the house hurriedly to get in the car to come to church just to be on time for church. And all the way to church, we were arguing about her not being able to get ready on time. He said, when we walked into the church, we were mad at one another. We weren't speaking to one another when we took our seats here. And the enemy had already defeated us. I looked at him and I said, sir, I want you to take your wife by the hand. And I want you to bring her down to the altar. And I want you two to get on your knees. And I want you to begin to pray. And do what you need to do to reconcile. Let's defeat the enemy on our turf here tonight. I turned to that congregation. There might have been 300 people there that night. And I said, maybe there's some other husbands and wives who need to do the same thing. Maybe we've got families in this congregation tonight. Things are not well in the family unit. And you need to come and you need to pray. I was not quite ready for what happened next. In mass, people from all over that congregation began to come, couples and families. And they filled that altar from one end to the other. It was three deep across the front of that large sanctuary. And God came. God moved upon that place. That service lasted until 10 o'clock that night. They came to me and they said, Lane, this is what we've been praying for. It bled over into the Sunday morning service. And the spirit of revival continued. And they said, Lane, would you stay an extra few days? This is what we've been praying for. I stayed three extra days. 70 people joined the church as a result of getting saved during that revival. It was a genuine move of God. I've never forgotten. That was in the fall of the year of 1980. In May of 1981, I got a letter in the mail from a lady who was in that revival. Dear Lane, I've wanted to write you for a long time. It seems there's never enough time, as I'm sure you know. God has been so good to us, I can't hold it back anymore. I'm sure you've wondered how things have gone since that night during the revival. I know you didn't know any of us before then, but I truly believe God sent you for us that week. My husband, Tyree, has been set free because you heeded God's call and stayed a little longer. I want you to know that before that night, a husband, a wife, and five children lived in hell. Tyree was completely controlled by alcohol. He could do nothing without it. There were so many deep hurts and angry feelings inside of him, and he could only cope by getting drunk, and of course, that only made things surface with violence. Satan had him fooled and was destroying him every day. Most of our children had run away, and at one point, I had filed for divorce, but God showed me in His Word that He didn't want me to do that, so I canceled it. Praise the Lord for giving me the grace to do that, or I would have missed the greatest joy of my life. Since October the 6th, 1980, Tyree has not touched one drop of alcohol. 1 week later, he gave up 2 packs of cigarettes a day. A mouth that once uttered words so filthy I couldn't listen now praises the Lord. Our son has come back home. One is married. A communication is building. As we pray for our boys each night, Tyree has missed one Wednesday night due to sickness since October 6th. We're in a Bible study on Tuesday night. He's in a discipleship class on Wednesday night. He's there every time the doors are open. He'll not let me write any checks until our tithes are paid. He is now praying that God will give him the wisdom to teach 6th grade students in Sunday school. I ask you, how can anyone not believe in miracles? I know God did what everyone said could never be done in our home, and lives everywhere have been touched by it. Thanks be to God for performing a miracle in my home. In February of 1989, you may remember the Herald of Holiness magazine we had at the church. In those years, they had revival news. And I picked up the Herald of Holiness in 1989, and I read this article. It stopped me dead in my tracks. Richmond, Virginia, Trinity Church experienced revival in every sense of the word, according to Pastor Tyree Newton. The church had been averaging 32 in attendance, but revival services began with 56 in the first service and reached 130 on the last night. More than 100 people sought help at the altar during the week. Pastor Newton says there were people from many denominations in the Saturday evening service, and after a tremendous message with seekers at the altar, the Holy Spirit began to move in a mighty way. Testimonies continued until 11:45 p.m., and we let out just before midnight. On Sunday morning, the blessings of revival were carried over to other churches in the area. Many pastors said they did not bring a message that morning as the spirit of testimony continued. We're still hearing about what God is doing. Tyree Newton passed away February the 1st, 2021, after a successful ministry. What if I'd have said no? I can't stay. Because you see, Tyree Newton got saved on that Monday night after I agreed to stay. A real revival is a genuine demonstration of the power of God. It must be preceded by prayer. Precipitated by prayer. That means it must be bathed with prayer. It can only be perpetuated by prayer. Then last of all, a revival of righteousness, revival of repentance, a revival that's real, and a revival of rediscovery of the burden of the Lord. Rediscovery of the burden of the Lord. Since ancient times, verse 4 of the passage, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for Him. The burden of the Lord, that's an Old Testament term. We don't talk too much. This is not to discredit anybody. But I've noticed over years, I used to hear my mom and my dad preach about it, talk about it, about carrying a burden. Carrying a burden for the lost. Carrying a burden for that unsaved loved one. We don't talk like that much anymore. But we need to rediscover what it means to have the burden of the Lord. It refers to people who carry a genuine burden regarding spiritual matters. My dad was brought up in the old-fashioned Methodist church. Caraway Memorial Methodist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina. They had an upper room off the back of the platform. And when they would have revivals there, there would be people in that congregation who would literally stay in that upper room praying for revival while the service was actually going on. I went to John Wesley Bible College. I went there 1 year of high school and 2 years of college. And one of my teachers was a man by the name of Kenneth Dooley. He was a minister. He had infantile paralysis. He was bent over like this. When he would walk, his foot would turn, and he had to walk like this. Back in those years, the only automobile that had reclining seats was the Rambler automobile. And he had to buy a Rambler because he had to recline the seat. And he would sit like this and drive. And one day he announced in chapel, "I've got a burden for the students in our school that are not saved." And he said, "I'm going to fast until everybody on this campus has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm just going to drink water until everybody on this campus has a personal relationship with Jesus." Days came and went. And I'd see Kenneth Dooley drive up on the campus and get out of his car and walk to his classroom and teach faithfully every day. Days turned into weeks. I'll never forget that chapel service that morning. There was one student holding out. His name was Frankie Washburn. His dad was an evangelical Methodist pastor in Danville, Virginia. And I remember that morning when conviction came and fell upon Frankie Washburn. And he fell at that altar and the students gathered around Frankie Washburn. And he wept his way to Calvary. Why? The burden of the Lord that Kenneth Dooley bore for the soul of one student, for all those students that were not saved. You can see the burden of the Lord, Jesus praying over Jerusalem. You can see the burden of the Lord, Moses pleading, "Father, forgive their sins. If not, then blot my name out of the book." You can see the burden of the Lord in John Knox when he cried, "Give me Scotland or I die." Henry Martyn in India saying, "Here, let me burn out for God." John Wesley, traveling more than 250,000 miles by horseback, preaching 40,000 sermons, writing 400 books, learning 10 languages so he could reach people. His own sister said of John Wesley, "He's out of breath serving God." Habakkuk said it well. "Oh God, that you might revive your church, your people, in the midst of these years." No weekend pep rally would suffice. No feeble face-saving effort was enough. His heart was hot. It was desperate. He's desperate for revival. And so now, as we reflect on 24 years ago and 24 hours ago, I remind us tonight that a world in crisis needs a church in revival. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches: in the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills; in the state of Kentucky, the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky; in the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury; in the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria; and here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.